Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When God answers prayer in ways we don't expect, He reminds us that it's Him we really need. Today, let's make sure our relationships with God are strong and growing, because knowing Him is far more vital than getting what we want from Him. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In our series on the triumph of unanswered prayer, we're learning what to do when the answer is disguised. First, we choose to agree with God. And second, we choose to adore God.
Third, choose to assure yourself. Choose to assure yourself. By that I mean there are some of you who really aren't willing to let God love you, because you know right well that you are so unlovable that He really shouldn't. Isn't that true of all of us? Is there anyone here not shaking his head affirmatively? Maybe I'm all alone up here. But the better we know ourselves, the more likely we are to say, God, you really shouldn't love me. And we all agree that, naturally speaking, He shouldn't. The good news is He does. He does love you. And you are the object of His affection. And you are number one on His list of things to take care of in this befuddled universe. Indeed, the very hair of your head is numbered. And as I look over the congregation today, I can see that for some of you, that might not be a big deal. You might have your own hair numbered. And some of us are getting that way. You imagine the particular interest that God takes, that not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but that the Heavenly Father notices it and sees that sparrow fall to the ground. So there is a time in this praying when you assure yourself. This is a time when you worship God and you give Him glory because of the fact that He exalts over you with praise, it says in the Old Testament. And so you're spending time thinking about what God has said and His promises in relationship to you, that you actually are valuable to God. Indeed, Jesus made the statement. He said that if your Heavenly Father takes care of the birds of the air, and they're here today, and the grass is here today, and it's gone tomorrow, will He not much more do so to you, O ye of little faith? For you are of more value than many sparrows. God cares about you. He cares about whom you should marry, and He also cares about whom you should not marry, and He cares equally. Isn't it better to seek Him out? I think so. Now, we hurry on. You choose to assure yourself. You choose to ask of God. Now, this is where the requests come in. The Bible says this very clearly: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, notice Paul does not give the same promise as Jesus. The promises of Jesus have certain conditions, certainly, and Paul has certain conditions. But listen to this again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, very important, because you don't have faith unless you offer thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. This has to do with commitment. This has to do with so surrendering our concerns. In fact, I'm toying with the idea of preaching an entire message on that topic. This means that we so give ourselves and our situation to God that we no longer fret about it, because we see it as completely in God's hands. So we do make our requests, but we bring those requests and we leave them submitted to the will and the plan of God. We think of Jesus in Gethsemane. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. You make the request, and you submit it to God. Finally, choose to affirm your relationship. You affirm your relationship through taking a verse of Scripture with you throughout the day. You see, when you read, I know it is often said, you know, that a chapter a day keeps the devil away. Well, not really, not if you can't remember what you read the moment you finished reading it. What you do is you read it to look for a promise, to look for an affirmation, and so that actually is put into your mind for the rest of the day, and you savor it for the rest of the day. That's the verse, that's the promise that you camp on. And when this time is over, you leave, I say, on good terms with God. By that I mean you leave in such a way that you say, Father, you know I have to go to work, I have to catch the L. You know I have to go to the bank or the office or the hospital or whatever. And so just know, though, that I'm not breaking fellowship with you. We're going to keep in touch all day. That's the way you begin to seek God. You say, well, how much time does it take? Well, I'm not going to tell you how much time it's going to take. Because if I gave you a time, it would be one more legalistic thing to do to fill your half hour or your 20 minutes or whatever. Let you and God figure that out. You ask God how much time should this take. It is amazing how a heavenly Father can sometimes convey his will to a child who's willing to listen and to respond. Now, here's what you do. You take this. That's why it's separate from the bulletin. Don't put it on your refrigerator unless you pray an awful lot before you open the door, and that might not be entirely bad. This is for your reading room. This is for the wall where you pray. This might go into your Bible if this is what you need each time as you begin. That might be a good place for it. But one thing is sure, this is considered very important as a guide. And it is only a guide. Sometimes these steps might be interspersed, they might be different, but here is your guide. And it'll introduce you to seeking God. Because remember what the Bible says. He rewards those who really do seek him out. It takes time, takes surrender, can be painful. But there's no way to compare the reward. Bottom line, knowing comes before asking. Knowing comes before asking. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Knowing comes before asking, and God's will comes before our will. That is essential. God's will comes before ours. A whole shift in the purpose of prayer. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you know, this message has just blown right past me because I don't think I even know God well enough, you know, to suddenly show up and say, here I am. And now I'm supposed to submit and I, you know, how do you even connect with a God like that? I mean, what's the first step? How do you get into it? Well, so glad you asked. Once again, you're really thinking. Thank you. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Here's a verse. It says in the book of Hebrews that we have boldness to enter into the most holy place. That was known in the Old Testament as the Holy of Holies. We have boldness to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's the way you get to God. You acknowledge your sinfulness. You realize that you need redemption and forgiveness, and Jesus Christ's blood was shed specifically for the purpose to take away the sin of sinners. And I know that on that point, you are eminently qualified, whoever you are, because we're all in the same boat when it comes to sin, born with it, and do it. But that's the way you come. You come, I say, I come through the blood of Christ. I come to be forgiven. I come to be cleansed. I come to agree with God. And then you begin your journey of knowing Him. And you look back in a year's time, and I think I can say this is true of me. This is a little dangerous to say, but I really do believe that I know God better this year than I did last. I certainly want to know God better in a year's time than I do now. Think of this. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But he who boasts, let him boast in this, that he knoweth me and understandeth me. For I execute loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 9. Let us be people whose joy is God. And let us pray. Father, this congregation of Moody Church, with all of its abilities and gifts and diversity, may we move together as one person coming to know you better. We ask, O Lord God, that you might use this message as a beginning point for us to be taught how to seek you. And your word assures us that if we seek, we find. And your word also, O Lord, gives us the assurance that you reward those who seek you out. Make it our passion. And may we be able to say with sincerity, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. You know, one of the things I've learned as I've walked with God many years is the fact that I constantly have to relearn lessons, the same lessons, time and time again. I wonder if that is your experience. And one of the lessons I have to learn is waiting on God, seeking God out. By nature, I'm very impatient, and so waiting on God and seeking Him does not come naturally. It's not something that I do easily. So one of the things that God is trying to teach me is to make sure that I know what it is to seek His mind through His Word, waiting on Him, yielding to Him, learning from Him. And that's why I preach this series of messages. I hope that you experience in your own life the triumph of unanswered prayer. In a moment, you'll be told how you can receive these messages so they'll be yours to listen to them again.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding When the Answer is Disguised, another message in a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. What do you do when you pray and then things get really bad? Next time on Running to Win, don't miss When the Answer is Disaster. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.